All right. My knee's giving me a little trouble today, so appreciate your prayers, but I'm going to sit. So have you ever had your mind set on a single priority? Maybe you can think of priorities your kids have their mind set. I saw a commercial the other day, and it starts off, and everyone starts screaming, and you're wondering, why are all these people screaming? And then you see that there's Snickers ice cream bars there. And they say, ice cream, you know, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. But, you know, during summer, sometimes kids have that priority. They are single-mindedly focused on the ice cream or something else or getting to the pool. Maybe as a student now, we're starting school. So I know we have some freshmen in college and they've already gone off to school. And their maybe single focus is the fact that they want to get a certain grade in the class. Maybe your focus is to lose a certain amount of weight. Maybe it's getting out of debt. There's all kinds of priorities that we can have. I remember when I was in eighth grade, many of the boys' priority in my generation was to be like Mike. You may wonder who I'm talking about. Michael Jordan, he was the basketball player at that time that everyone wanted to be like. And he would make three-pointers, he would slam dunk with his tongue hanging out, and he would breeze past defenders and score a layup with dizzying ease. You know, Nike, the company that supported, or like he signed a contract with, they had Air Jordan shoes, Air Jordan hats, Air Jordan clothing. I remember playing in the local park, and it wasn't uncommon for the majority of the clothing there to be Air Jordan. For many young boys, they had the priority that they would someday be in the NBA, and they practiced with surprising diligence daily at the basketball court. So you may wonder, you know, what does this idea of priority have to do with this message? Well, today we're going to be looking at the topic of priorities and how that relates to Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. We've been working our way through Romans, and this portion of Romans opens a curtain on the Apostle Paul's priorities and what motivated him. And as we look at these priorities, I'm reminded of when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So instead of being like Mike, let's be like Paul as Paul is like Christ. So we want to ultimately be like Christ. But it's sometimes nice for us to see examples, human examples of people that are successfully imitating Christ and what that looks like in the day-to-day life that then we can imitate. So to summarize this passage, I would say that it challenges us to live your life with a gospel of grace priority. Live your life with a gospel of grace priority. So if you want to turn to Romans 15 with me, if you have your Bible with you or if it's on your phone, however, those of you at home, turn with me to Romans 15, verses 14 through 33. And I'm going to be reading this from the English Standard Version today. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So we can see three aspects here of how we are to live our lives with the gospel of grace priority. First, by remembering the gospel of grace daily. Second, by recognizing God's desires over our own desires. And finally, by wrestling in prayer and working together for the spread of the gospel of grace. So let's look at the first one. Live your life with the gospel of grace priority by remembering the gospel, of grace daily. If you look at verses 14 through 21, it really kind of unpacks this idea. But we see in verses 14 and 15 especially that Paul believes the Romans are mature, but that even though they are mature, they need reminded of the priority of the gospel. Martin Luther would often challenge people to preach the gospel to themselves daily because our hearts are idol factories. It's so easy for us to make other things priority in our lives rather than being rooted in the grace of God for us that causes us to want to proclaim the grace of God to the world. So how does remembering the gospel of grace daily affect your and my lives? It reminds us, of course, that we are what course we're on and how everything in life relates to the gospel. Often we can compartmentalize our faith and not allow it to penetrate every area of our lives. We become what many would call Sunday Christians. We think about God one day a week, maybe for an hour and a half or so, and then the rest of the week is not really thought much about. He's not really thought much about. And that's not the desire God has for us. He desires us, as we saw in Romans 12:1, to offer our entire lives as a living sacrifice to him. So everything you and I do is for the glory of God. So as we do things, we can be asking ourselves, how am I showing God's gospel of grace in this? God can help us in this. What if this week we would often pause and during our day and ask this question? And let me challenge us to think about this week. Pause often and ask, how is God's gospel of grace priority affecting this area of my life that I'm in right now? If you don't know the answer, you may say, I don't know how God's gospel of grace affects me ordering a quarter pounder at McDonald's, honestly. If you don't know the answer, ask God to show you and give you wisdom of how to make the gospel of grace a priority in that particular area. So let me unpack a couple areas maybe for us. So in our work and school, how can we make the gospel of grace a priority? You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor, a Christian worker to be representing the gospel of grace and expanding the kingdom of God. Now, God has that calling on various people, and that is great. But not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a foreign missionary overseas. But we are all called to make disciples. So you can be asking God, as I go to school, as I go to work, am I looking for these opportunities to represent him, to make disciples at work? You can ask yourself, what is my calling? And is God allowing me to use this calling, this vocation, to advance his kingdom? Some years back, we did a conference called Work is Worship. And what it was challenging people to realize is that any occupation, it can be done for the glory of God, and you can be an ambassador for Christ in that field. You know, those of you maybe that work as teachers, you can be ambassador of Christ in your classroom. Those of you that work as businessmen or women, you can be an ambassador for Christ in that business. Maybe you own a business. You can represent Christ in how you treat your employees, how you apportion benefits packages and pay salaries and stuff. That can all show your kingdom values, and you can advance God's kingdom through that. So how can, one thing we can ask is, how can I be God's representative in this place, wherever we're at? And maybe it's how you and I relate to one another is out of unselfish grace. Maybe it's how we talk. Maybe it's what you and I are passionate about. So another area, what about our finances? How does how you and I use our money affect a kingdom of priority or show a kingdom priority? Do we support initiatives that are bringing the gospel to the far reaches of the world? Do we use our finances to bless others rather than just ourselves and our family? Do we give to God's work locally? If you and I were to look at our budget for the month, how much are we using to bless others? How much are we using to advance God's kingdom? So what about our free time? Do you and I recognize that our interests can be used to connect with others who don't know the gospel? You know, God is not a God saying, I don't want you to have any interests or any fun. No, he actually wants you to use all areas of life for his glory. So say you're interested in football. You can connect with others that are interested in football that maybe don't know the Lord and build relationship. Maybe you're interested in biking. Maybe you're interested in birds. Maybe you're interested in hiking. Whatever that interest might be, playing guitar, you can do that with others and use that as a way and a means to connect with others who don't know him through that common interest. So another question is, do I use my free time to serve others and get involved in activities that will bring the kingdom of God to my community? Do I ever consider using my vacation time to go on a short-term trip, whether here in the States or overseas, to serve others and to share the gospel? So those are some things we've been thinking about as we're trying to remember Christ daily. Not only can you live your life with a gospel of grace priority by remembering the gospel of grace daily, secondly, live your life with the gospel of grace priority by recognizing God's desires over your own desires. Recognizing God's desires over your own desires. We see in verses 22 through 30, Paul had this desire to go to Rome after Jerusalem. He had a desire to go to Spain after that. And these weren't bad desires. But as you look in Acts, you see that his desires, his plans were not necessarily God's plans in the moment. He was arrested when he went to Jerusalem. He spent a long time in prison there and then came back to Rome via being a prisoner coming to trial. And lots of hardships along the way. They were shipwrecked. Many of the things you read about Philippians, all the troubles he faced on that journey as one of them. And we don't know if he ever made it to Spain. There's some reference in extra biblical writing of Clement that he did get to Spain, but some might think he died under Nero during Nero's rule. So we don't know if Paul ever actually got to Spain. So sometimes you and I have desires, even good desires, to serve God in some way, and the door is shut. The way is shut. You know, I thought in my 20s that I would serve the Lord as a missionary and retire in that type of work. He allowed me to serve that way for 7 years in Central Asia, but then he changed my course. If you and I have truly made him Lord, we will have to follow his marching orders and not just what you and I want. And what we want may be a good thing. It may be something that the church is praising, that our family's praising. But maybe God says, no, not yet, or not now. I find that when you and I make the gospel of grace a priority, that God will often call us to do things that are just beyond what we think we can do or we are comfortable doing. Have you had that experience? It makes us rely on him rather than on our own strength. So this is a good question to ask ourselves. When was the last time I did something a little risky that God was moving me to try? When was the last time that I took a risk for God? When was the last time I did something that if God did not show up, it would fail? And if we're not ever doing that, then it might be a call to us to say, am I making an idol of comfort? Am I making an idol of my schedule or an idol of something else? Or am I willing to take a risk for God and for his kingdom? So we've seen that we can have a gospel of grace priority by remembering the gospel daily and by recognizing God's desires over our own. And the last point today is live your life with a gospel of grace priority by wrestling in prayer and working together for the spread of the gospel. Wrestling in prayer and working together for the spread of the gospel. We see in verses 31 through 33, if you're following along in your Bible, that Paul appeals to the Romans to wrestle with him in prayer for what he is doing for the gospel. You see here, he says this strive or whatever, that you would strive together, but the word here is like wrestle. I don't know if you've ever wrestled in prayer. It's where you're being diligent, you're staying after something, you've got that on your mind a lot, you're lifting it up. He's calling them to do that for him in this work. He asks that he would be delivered from unbelievers in Judea, that his service in Jerusalem would be accepted by the saints there. And you might say, why was he worried about it being accepted? So the Gentiles, who the Jews might have thought themselves superior to, are now giving them a gift of finances. Have you ever been one of those people that's a giver? It's hard to receive a gift, right? Sometimes it's humbling to have someone give you a gift and accept that with joy, because you feel indebted to them in some strange sort of way. So he's praying that the Jews there would accept this gift from the Gentiles, and actually that would bring unity to the whole church. He's afraid that they will reject it, and it will cause a schism between the Gentile churches and the Jewish believing churches. So we saw earlier that he was seeking to involve them in his work in Spain. We see in earlier verses that he was going to pass in verse 24, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. He's saying basically, when Paul would say you're helping me, they're going to finance this trip to Spain. They're going to send people with him. Paul never went alone. So he's asking them to be actively involved, to send some of their sons and daughters to go to Spain with him. And I know my parents had to deal with this when my wife and I went overseas. They had to be okay with sending their son and daughter to a place where they weren't sure it was safe. They weren't going to get to see them at Christmas. They weren't going to get to have Sunday meals with them. They were going to miss out on a lot of those neat things that grandparents miss out, that the grandparents experience. They weren't going to get to see the grandkids and have them sitting on their lap every time. But they said, we want to do this for the priority of the gospel. So this involves us thinking about what Matthew 28, 8 through 20 is. Jesus commanded all those who follow him to be about this priority of making disciples in all nations. Let me read that for us today. Jesus is saying to all the disciples and to us today, he's saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the question is this our priority, church? Or is it just something tacked on that we do to in addition to everything else? My prayer is that we would be a church that is actually about Christ's mission to the world. And if you look at the mission of Grace Fellowship Church, a people for God who will what? Go into the world and make disciples. And if I was to add something to that, make disciples who make disciples, that we're about a multiplication ministry, not just for Mansfield, not just for our families, not just for our little sphere of influence, but for Mansfield, for Ohio, for the U.S., and for the nations. So how can we do this practically? Do we pray for God's kingdom to be spreading? Are we wrestling in prayer for God's kingdom to advance here in Mansfield? Are we actively working towards that happening in our school, in our work, in our free time, in our finances, in our family? Do we pray for God's kingdom to be spreading in America? Do we actively work towards that happening in our work, school, free time, finances, and family? Do we pray for God's kingdom to spread in this world? And once again, do we work towards that happening with our work, our school, our free time, our finances, and our family? So, if we are not living our lives with the gospel of grace priority, what are we putting our priority in? Jesus has said that if you and I love him and have a relationship with him, we will want to obey his commands. His command is to love God and love others. And what better way to love people, not just accept them, but to point them to the source of life, Jesus? The world often tells us what it means to love others is to never disagree with them, to accept whatever they do. What the Bible says is love is to point them to the source of love, to point them to God, to point them to a relationship with Jesus Christ, to point them to the kingdom of God. That is what is going to bring them the ultimate happiness, the ultimate fulfillment. He has commanded us to be about making disciples in all the earth. So we must make that our top priority in our lives. And maybe you're saying today, well, Eric, I don't feel like that is my top priority. Well, you're hearing it today. We are being called to it. And one thing I love is that when I am not in obedience to something or when I'm struggling with something, we can go to God with that and say, God, change my heart, oh God. Make me want what you want. Right now, I'm not wanting this. I know I should want this. So give me the want to want to. So as we're entering this new school year, our theme as a church is going to be shifting from growing down into God's grace to growing upwards in Christ. So picture a tree, like we have these trees behind us. When it has a firm rooting in the grace of God, when a tree has a firm rooting, it can now grow tall and not have any concern that the wind will blow it over or that it will lack resources. So as we've put our roots deep down into God's grace and this gospel of grace, it will cause us to grow up and be more like Christ, grow upward. So as we're looking at this idea, let's take a few moments. We did this last week, and I want to try this again in response to this message. It's called Safe Place Prayer. And what it's doing is using your sanctified imagination, we're going to pray to God. Sometimes we will pray, and we don't picture anything, and our minds get distracted. So God's given us imagination, and we can turn that over to him and let him use it for good things, not for bad things. So I want you to quiet yourself now. If closing your eyes helps, do that. If looking around at nature helps you do that, whatever helps you to quiet your mind and heart and remove distractions. Now that you're quiet before the Lord, I want you to invite Jesus to meet with you now. I want you to picture Christ coming and meeting with you. Sit in his presence. What's the expression on his face? Where is he at? Enjoy him. Just be in his presence. Now, in response to what you heard today, is there anything you want to say to him? Speak that to him, whether you can speak it out loud or whether you just want to speak it in your mind. What do you want to say to God? He wants to hear from you. He is not looking at his watch. He is not eager to get away. He is enjoying this time with you. Now, in response to what you heard today, what does he want to say to you? Ask him, what do you want to say to me in response to what I heard today? I want you to listen. Lord, we thank you that we can meet with you, the God of the universe, anytime. Because of the blood of Christ, we can come into the presence of God Almighty. What a sobering thought. And we can come like a child comes to Daddy. And you welcome us into your lap. You hold us close. You want to hear from us. And you have things you want to tell us. Lord, we thank you that you've heard our heart cry today, and you have spoken to us. Lord, help us, give us that strength by the power of your Holy Spirit to do what you've told us to do today through your word and through prayer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at Grace Fellowship, we end with a benediction. So I would just ask, if you're able to stand, stand. If not, just stay where you are. But hold up your hands as an act of receiving. Go forth this week, living your life with a gospel of grace priority. Do this by remembering the gospel of grace daily. Do this by recognizing God's desires over your own desires. Do this by wrestling in prayer for God's work and working together with others for the spread of the gospel. Go in peace. Amen.